Hey, everybody. Really fun show this morning. We discussed the stories of the NFT space this week, specifically crypto dick butts making a little bit of a run. Seems like a little bit of a Illuminati-style pump, as Kix would say. We also talk about Nickelodeon dropping their first NFTs for $50 and those having a big-time 10x plus pump. Today's show is actually sponsored by Tokopi, which is a centralized NFT platform that is releasing some pretty cool NFTs this week. So it was awesome to have Legendary, who we've had on the show before, talk about that project. He also lends his expertise to the general NFT markets because he's been in the game since 2019. So really fun one. Hope you enjoy it. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the NFT Morning Show. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. Get your ass up. This show is all things NFT market, trade talk. What's going up? What's going down? What are the stories that are happening in the NFT space? I'm Pio. I'm here with my co-host Nifty Nick, Easy Eats Bodega, and of course King Kix, as well as some of our badass speakers, Benjamin, Node, and Quad joined us again. Quad's coming every day now. This is fantastic. Unfortunately, Signal is on the road in the European countryside. She's enjoying the fresh air. She's enjoying that sweltering European Celsius heat, or whatever, centigrade, or whatever you want to call it. So she unfortunately will not be able to join us. But we do have a sponsor today. Today's show is sponsored by Tokopi, and we got Legend with us, representing for Tokopi. Last time he was on, he was dropping some sick knowledge. So really, really excited to hear from them. If you haven't done it already, retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow Tokopi for a chance to win one CSA mystery box NFT that's worth 500 euros. I love that copy with the euros in there. And that'll be given away at the end of the show after we dive into that sponsor. But before I go any further, Nifty Nick, what's going on? Let's go.
It's a bull run out there, baby. The price is just going up. I'm just looking at my portfolio, just thinking, wow, what's going on? I'm just enjoying myself.
Man,
I feel like you missed a massive opportunity just to bring back this jam, dude. I was sitting there, although the Warped Tour, sorry, I keep getting the name of that wrong. Tribe Called Quest is a classic.
Yeah, it's all good, man. I'm just glad to have Nifty Nick feeling like $1 million this morning.
Like a damn bull.
Let's go.
Woo! I'm just smashing things around here, baby, because who cares if I break a couple plates? That's just cheap compared to the cash that's going up right now in this market. We're going straight to the moon. It doesn't matter what the macro environment looks like. Earnings coming in looking decent. Fuck inflation. Fuck layoffs. We're just going straight up. That was all a joke, everybody. That was a joke. We're just going straight up.
That's how I'm feeling right now.
Well, that's what I like to hear. Look, anytime Nifty...
I just bought a little more Bitcoin. And I've been buying on the way up. Someone asked me, they were like, aren't you supposed to sell on the way up? No. You buy on the way up, you sell on the way down, okay?
Wait, are you serious? You bought more Bitcoin now? I feel like, are you buying a little higher? You're like a bull and a half on this. You think that we're going up to 28.
He's just DCAing upwards.
So I did it once more. The only reason was because I had bought, freaking Gemini had limited me. Yesterday I'd bought at 23, basically the line that I was looking at. Although yesterday the best time was 22.2 when we were on the show. We'd said that we'd broken above the line that I was looking at. There's one other line that I was looking for verification. That now I'm just like, all right, I'll ride this up to, I hate saying my target price. I had tweeted 30K. That was only because Crypto Cred had done a great YouTube on it. And his target was 30K. I would not be holding all the way up there. But I'm enjoying it right now. And this has been a bull structure. And we said yesterday, frankly, for a few days now, we've been saying Bitcoin's turn to turn around, and ETH is still running as well. So like we still have not even begun, I think, to see the Bitcoin run. Now, this all could fall apart, don't get me wrong, but I like seeing how far we can push it.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of things to be excited about, in my opinion, when you kind of look at what's going on in the NFT space. You know, compare even just compared to yesterday, we're seeing some volume, we're seeing some activity. We got some new projects that we're going to talk about that have cracked the top 10, some cracked the top 5. Me and Nick got put onto a project yesterday at Christie's that we bought into. I see no.
Oh my God, here we go.
Oh, delightful.
1.7K unique New York City owners. Two more added to the pool.
The Illuminati is out. Me and my gang of generative art Illuminati has aped in.
Wow, I mean, you bought in?
No, I just bought in six minutes ago.
There we go.
Check the history. Saw half of New York buying.
Let's go with the dick butts.
Well, we're going to talk about this.
Bottoms.
Wait, no. Do you not curse? And that is that a thing? And so you can't even say the name of this project?
I try not to curse. I do my best. If you'll notice, you have never heard me say the F-bomb. So I try not to. I've been holding out on this project for over a year because it's just so crude and so crass. But you know what? Sometimes you got to ape in. We got Punk 6529.
Yeah, sometimes the project just sucks, but
you're really choppy.
Yeah, so you're breaking up a lot. You're cutting note off. You're on a roll. You must be angry that you didn't buy crypto dick butts when you saw me and Nick both buy them within 5 minutes of each other.
It wasn't the bottom.
I was getting ready, Kicks, to give you an epic intro, but I'm not sure if I should do that anymore.
We're gonna get Kicks back out. We're gonna hear all of his opinions. We're not gonna suppress the frustration of Kicks. He can, you know, put his tinfoil hat on and just go off on what's going on with the dick butts and our buys. You know, I personally woke up to a pleasant surprise because a very rare NFT that I had listed for listed a long time ago for a 7 Ethereum, so over $10,000, abruptly sold overnight. So that was a nice little surprise.
Why do you prevent sharing what NFT that was? Like, I'm curious about that because you tweeted, you just tweeted an NFT. Are you afraid of mentioning which one it is?
I'm not afraid. I just think it's not that relevant. I just think that the point of it was that an NFT that was really rare, you know, that was
pretty
listed.
Relevant to me. Could you share which one it was?
It was one of the rarest Akutars that I own that is not the Mega Akutar. So it's the most rare besides the actual Mega. So I just didn't think it was that relevant to put it in the tweet and everything like that.
Because you're fading Aku now. That's what you're saying. So you're just fading the project. And everybody, I mean, are you seeing this guy? Or is everybody witnessing
this? Talk about backfiring. This is exactly what Pio is trying to avoid. Nice.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm making a joke.
Not like he's into NFTs or anything. You know, why even mention that?
Anyway, I don't think that listing something 9x above floor and having it sell abruptly overnight after it's been listed that way for months is necessarily fading a project. I think it was just a nice little thing. I immediately sold the ETH because I don't trust the market and I don't want to be leveraged in the market to any capacity and put it into an earn account earning about 7% yield. So you boys getting some interest on this shit. But anyway, we're going to get the show kicked off here. Reminder, before we dive into the weather report, today's show is sponsored by Tocopy NFT Project. We are going to be hearing all about it. I'm pumped to have Legend back on this show. He kicked ass last time. Retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top for a chance to win an NFT worth 500 euros. If you don't know how much that is, Google it, motherfucker.
It's the same as a dollar. I was just confused. Why are we like, isn't it one for one? It's the same thing. So like, why did we choose to use euros?
Well, Tocopy is going to answer that question, Nick, and maybe your uncultured ass, your unworldly self will be able to understand the response once we dive into it. But before we go any further, we need to get to our weather report. It's a shame that Signal is traveling today and she cannot deliver it with the crisp.
please rise and stand for the king himself. King Kicks. We'll see if he has phone service.
King Kicks with the Android phone. He's a king, but he can't afford an iPhone or something. King Kicks. Your Highness.
King Kicks.
His Majesty.
Yes, yes. Hello. Hello, my lieges, my lords, and my peasants. I am pulling off the highway right now to deliver the outlag. That is some of the most premium service ever. I am fully stopped. Can you hear me fine?
We can. His Majesty, he's dialing in.
I've been summoned up north to a land owned by a company called Goldman Sachs. They want to meet with me and better understand my technical analysis trading. I am doing a seminar there, but that is neither here nor there. Let me get into the weather report. The overnight volume was flat. Open sea at 16 million. Yes, yes, yes. Leaders of the NFT market, apes at 93, mutants at 17, punks at 82, all holding quite stable. Moonbirds just below 27, doodles at 11, and Coinex at 10. Slight retracements there due to the pump of Ethereum. Overnight, Nickelodeon leads the OpenSea rank. The drop is part of the Recur ecosystem. It was a whitelist mint. The NFT is worth $50 to buy, and it is now trading at a 0.4 ETH floor. That is over a 10x if you're on the white. Yes, yes, yes. Congrats. Artifact limited edition minted Genesis hoodie. And it's minting tomorrow for CloneX and Crypto Kicks holders. CloneX trading at 10 ETH. And Crypto Kicks trading at 1.2. Right now on the show. Oh, sorry, that is in PST.
King Kicks, your royal cell service is
the kingdom couldn't provide you with some like quality cell phone service.
Some Verizon.
Maybe a satellite.
I'm now outside of the car. Is it better? I have the phone in the air.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'd like to like have a video of this. Like him walking around.
I'm in the middle of a farm in a highway. Moonbird Oddities revealed at 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. The floor is at 3 ETH. Gremlin's big reveal is coming to us soon. That is probably why Quad is here today. He must be quite excited for his moment to finally come. When we look over at the crypto markets, Bitcoin wants 24K. NFT Nick leading the charge of the Bitcoiners. Knight's Nick leading the charge. Ethereum is in the back of the Calvary waiting, slowly moving up as well, nearing 1600. ApeCoin, the artillery in the back right rear, is at 640 and charging, ready for a strike. I was going to ignore this part of the weather report.
I was about to ask.
But I do love my friends more than I hate this project. Therefore, Crypto Dick Butts saw strong volume. Rare Butts have recently sold for 27 ETH. And the floor is trading a whole 10% higher than it was yesterday at a 2.15. Congrats to those who hold dick butts dearly. Back to you in the studio.
Oh, well, I mean, that was just absolutely fucking fantastic once you figured out the cell reception. It's really a shame that our His Majesty, you know, our Royal Highness or whatever you want to call him, can't afford an iPhone and Verizon. Nick, you were going to ask something.
The floor is actually 2.42, so he missed that a little bit. It's just going up. Everything's going up right now. Enjoy it while it lasts, you know? Like, I'm just, I'm pretty pumped up here. I'm like, now equal, I'm like a lot very far into Bitcoin now and ETH. We'll see what's going on, how long this runs here. But I like it.
I like it too. I mean, this is a pretty
and the
juicy
dick butts.
Dude, the dick butts. When I woke up this morning, I was like, yo, am I about to be underwater on these dick butts? Because when somebody just comes up to you at a conference and basically tells you to do it, Sergito had said that he's like, when I asked him, like, what prompted you to bring up the dick butts? He like, you know, it was during the conference, so I didn't want to speak too loud. And he pointed to Keith Grossman. And I was like, oh, shit, this must have come from Keith Grossman. But then Sergito tweeted out that he convinced Keith Grossman. So I was like, yo, you're just telling everybody to buy the dick butts right now. I was a little bit worried. And then when I woke up and I saw that they were north of 2 ETH and now we're almost up 1 ETH on the trade, I was pretty satisfied.
I was saying that he while we were sitting there, I was like, dude, why are you selling right now after I bought? And but he wasn't. But I just thought that'd be hilarious if he was walking around the conference.
I considered joining my brethren in crypto dick butts, but then I looked at recent buyers and I sorted their collections by highest last sold, and I saw lots of top buying, so I avoided.
Okay. I mean, look, the most bullish thing for me was like on the train afterwards, like maybe an hour and a half after me and Nick had bought, I looked at the activity. I saw Punk 6529 buy. So I was like, oh, wow. Like, that's fucking nuts.
Nate and then, Rivers bought here, I see.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. And then also, what's his name? DC Investor actually tweeted about it, which is wild.
Drew Austin bought two of them.
Look, man, I mean, this
there
could
was
be
a bunch of people tweeting about it in the past couple of days. It's definitely going through its own like little influencer pump right now.
Yeah, it's like MFers, right? I mean, I don't know if anyone disagrees. Like, wouldn't that be kind of a fair comparison?
Except it's earlier. And I remember this trending last year in the CryptoPunks Discord, and I was just like, who has the money to buy this? This is infuriating and insulting. It was how I felt about it at that time. Now I'm the one doing the insulting by buying this for a stupid amount. It's also interesting because the NFT space as a whole yesterday was actually down 25% in terms of volume. We saw some floors retrace a little bit, primarily on the ape side is where I've been watching. But we've seen floors pull back some as well, just because as crypto runs, we tend to see the NFTs face some resistance, and that's what we're experiencing right now. All will be well after this run is over, and then the subsequent dump, which makes everyone question all of their decisions again, yet again. It's interesting timing. There's just so much demand. All this shows to me, and I tweeted this yesterday, was just the immense demand that there is to be active in the NFT market. There's money that was on the sidelines. It was waiting for crypto to go as well. And so now it's like people are FOMOing in. I think a lot of people may get wrecked again. There's a upcoming FOMC meeting, I believe, maybe next week.
Yeah, within 8 days. But it might be priced in because everyone's expecting a rate hike. I think the only way that would cause like a big, kind of bearish turn would be if the rate hike is like absolutely enormous. Like if they go fucking hard as hell.
I'm actually wondering when do they report? When is the next inflation report? That would be to me the biggest. The biggest signal is what those numbers come
to be on BPS rep.
Sorry, what?
We can't hear you, buddy. Okay. Anyway, go on, Nick.
Well, that'd be the only thing I'd be looking for. But honestly, we're very far along the way of what we were saying. At 1429, I said next stop for ETH is, you know, towards 1800 at this point. So we're already very far along that route. I don't know. And Marin, as Easy was saying or texted with me this morning, was calling for things to dump towards the end of the month. Now, I haven't taken much stock in Marin. She's not been my guide for all trades here. I just look at levels and trade based on that. But they do tend to coincide. And so I will probably de-risk a little bit as we approach the end of the week or beginning of next week. I would say actually next month, as we approach next Monday, I think we could get a rally through the weekend maybe, but who knows? Like, it's impossible to actually say specifically, but I'm just liking the market structure at this point in time. and playing in, and the NFTs are the ones that are getting a little bit of pullback. I'm actually like readjusting. So if I go buy a crypto dick putt, I got to go sell something else. Like I bought that table, whatever the hell it was
yesterday. Tableland rigs.
I think I'm now down on an ETH basis, but I'm probably up on a USD basis. I don't know. Depends on how far that floor has gone down. It's, yeah, it's down to 0.44.
So that's right where you bought it, right?
No, I bought it at 0.499.
But after the fees and the royalty, you'll be underwater on that.
5 days ago. So that was $614 at that point in time. The value right now of these is
$697, but after fees, you'll be underwater on that for sure.
All right, excellent. Well, I'm glad that we're tracking all my losses. This is beautiful. Other than that, yeah, I mean, I'm just looking around for anything that's interesting, but man, it's hard to hunt here. The only other thing I've thought about doing is selling. We have the reveal coming up, or sorry, the end of the claim window for the currency. And you would probably expect the price to dump after that.
I think that's fair. Sorry, someone was about to say something. Sorry.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's fair. That is going to be fascinating to see how the currency plays out long term. Legend, did you have something to add on what we're talking about right now?
Yeah, currency is quite fascinating. Like I'm tracking it because I have a currency myself, and it's interesting to see like how much it is priced in US dollar terms, as it's also trading on the Henny marketplace. And as soon as ETH started going up, it immediately pulled back in ETH value. But I think the cutoff date is this Friday, Saturday? No, 23rd, this Saturday. It's going to be interesting to see how many get burned eventually and what the market decides afterwards. Like if a lot more get burned and actually the digital one, the NFT turns out to be the rarer of the two, which it doesn't look like right now, it could be that the market decides to rally around it, but I'm also more of the opinion that it will pull back in terms of the NFT price after the deadline.
The annoying thing is that like the window closes before the year mark for the capital gains tax, which is just an absolute pain in the ass. It's so stupid.
It works out for me actually, because I got it early. It works out with, like it becomes tax-free for me on the 22nd, and 23rd is when the window closes, right?
Oh, was the mint on the 22nd?
It was on the 22nd, but maybe we're looking at the transaction date when you transferred it to OpenSea, because we all minted it back then at Henny in DAI, right?
Oh, you make a very good point.
Exactly a year.
Okay, I love that.
So Nick can dump his right at the last second. You still have the physical, so you can say that you own a Damien Hirst. Wow, Nick is really on fire recently, huh, Nick?
Hey, I don't like to brag.
What can I say, man? You know, your boy got a few wins. Any other thoughts on the currency? Quad, you have your hand raised. What's going on? Then we're going to move on from the currency and never speak about it on the show again. Quad, what's up?
Yeah, the currency is one that I'm kicking myself for not getting. But I also think it's like you pointed out, it's a pretty important lesson to kind of store in your memory for the future, is these artists that are already well known outside of NFTs, their stuff I see trades way more near the US dollar value than any of these crypto native artists. And I think it's because you have a US dollar value of other physical pieces of theirs to go off of as well. Now, obviously, he doesn't have a 10,000 collection to compare this against, but you can see what his other, you know, pieces sell for. And then you're able to kind of gauge it based on US dollar. But I also think that this piece is probably held by a lot of art collectors as well. And that's also why it trades on the US dollar. So, you know, if you see an artist that's well known dropping a project, you know, that could be a potential, you know, opportunity in the future with the swings of ETH to stack some ETH when it goes up and down based on the dollar value.
Fantastic analysis. One thing that I would add, and then we'll move on from the currency, is that there's something about this one, I think, because of the nature of the art and the way you get the physical, and it's like an actual painting and blah, blah, blah. I feel like it just feels more like pure play fine art. Whereas you see other artists try to enter the NFT space and do something that's a little bit more collectible like. I don't know if I'm really making sense with that, but I feel like when you do that, then it gets priced kind of like collectibles. Whereas, like Quad just said, this is just being priced like Damien Hirst's other work. Having said that, Damien Hirst is a massive, massive name and hugely successful for a long time in the traditional art world. So he is a, you know, his kind of own beast. If I look at the stories of the NFT space over the past 72 hours, I'd say the biggest stories are that Time Magazine had the Into the Metaverse cover that did feature Akutarz. I'd say that's one of the bigger NFT native stories. Another big NFT native story is just the Moonbirds Ravens slash the reveal of the Oddities. And then of course, for the past 24 hours, I'd say the biggest NFT native story is Crypto Dick Butts. We're seeing that continue to run, maybe because of this show, partially because I'm seeing some buys of like three or more. The floor is now pushing 2.7. So people are, you know, diving in. I want to talk about it. I want to hear Captain Kicks, if he can get to a place where he has decent reception, talk about the Dick Butts. But the biggest story of the past 24 hours that's non-NFT native, so to speak, is without question Nickelodeon. The collection is called Nickelodeon, Rugrats, and Hey Arnold, with ETH in parentheses, just in case you didn't know it was on ETH. The description, the 90s are back. Rugrats and Hey Arnold NFTs are here with the first ever Nickelodeon NFTs. You know, what do we think about this? Do we think that, like, everyone that minted it for $50, that was a big win. What about buying it here at 0.42 ETH? I saw my man Franelations buy, no surprise there. Nick, what are your thoughts?
Well, I've been copyright infringing on them for a long time now, and I've been really excited about that when we do the Nick at Night show. So shout out to Nickelodeon for their great naming strategies. Other than that, from a collectible standpoint, I mean, this just has so much nostalgic aspects to it, I think is the main thing. And so there's a lot of people that would want to pay for this. What's incredible is that it's on Ethereum. I don't know if we've seen, like, do we have an example of a brand like that? Like Disney went with Vivi, for example.
Yeah, they go with the easier onboarding. The NBA obviously started with Top Shot, which I believe was on Dapper Labs, but then the NBA put out that absolutely terrible project, the Association, on Ethereum, where anybody that bought it within 48 hours of it coming out, unless they got the free mint, got absolutely wrecked. Little 99% capitulation.
Yeah, and you had like Budweiser as an example, but I don't have, my childhood did not involve Budweiser, and I'm sure if your childhood if your childhood did involve Budweiser, then there's a good chance that you have negative feelings about that experience. So all I'm saying is like the Nickelodeon is one that has positive childhood sort of throwback nostalgic vibes to it. And so for someone to collect it, I'm just like, yeah, that seems awesome. The problem is the main characters that you want to get are probably much more expensive. I see a lot of Rugrats on the floor here. Or I wasn't a big Hey Arnold person, so that's not my
I feel thing. Like Gerald's got to be the blue chip of the group. I don't know. I haven't looked at the... Right?
Yeah. You said 90s are back, so you called, baby. Put on some Nirvana, some early Jay-Z. Let's go. I'm ready.
I just did the cartoon.
Yeah, I wasn't a Rugrats person either, but of course, somehow, I mean, my sister was. She's younger than me. So, yeah, I blew this one as always. I'm still on tilt. I need a seance. I'm going to go to a special NFT therapist to straighten out my mind. I'm like one of those second basemen who can't throw to first anymore. So, I still got to get my head into action. But, yeah, these dropped from, well, they're in parentheses on ETH because they were also on Matic. So, like, they clearly don't know what they're doing. They already are bragging on their Twitter about how they're number two in the NFT space, and it's like that's like the first rule of NFTs is like don't brag about like your especially if you're Nickelodeon, you're a real brand, like don't brag about how well you're doing because it's probably gonna flop. Yeah, I don't think these have a long-term value, but like this is real nostalgia play. The people that are in the NFT space are kind of right, you know, maybe they're a little younger, but like right in that demographic. So yeah, these pumped to like right off $50 to 0.2, pulled back to 0.09. I looked at them in past and now they're 0.5 ETH. I don't think they're going to stay there, but I think this was in a bear, in a mini upswing market. This was, Yeah, maybe an obvious play.
Nickelodeon is at the heart of, I feel like, 90s nostalgia pretty much. And so I think that, they could launch a lot of other things. The character that I would say is actually the main one is Tommy. That's the one that you're aiming for from Rugrats, and that has a floor price of 0.6. It also happens to be the most quote-unquote rare, although the distribution is not one where you have like a wild range. Like the most rare, there's only 309 Tommies, but there's 368 Heralds. So there's not a wide gap between them. It does also say on the website that you can trade them in for slime is an option. Shout out to the Double Dare throwback. And then there's 500 available for mashups, which I guess means you can sort of you use the slime to merge your characters and end up with a modified version of it, which will inevitably make them more rare. Now, how far they end up going down this path, I don't know. But it's still a great project. The fact that they were able to use Nickelodeon's actual branding associated with it is pretty incredible.
I definitely think it's all nostalgia. I mean, if you think of the NFT people, they're kind feelings for washed up 90s DJs like Steve Aoki. So I think we can see nostalgia is going to
be
big here. And, we'll see if a lot of other people – no, but it is. Like this does go in with your earlier thought about how there's just this continuing interest in crypto and NFTs despite this bear market. And for Nickelodeon to launch this and it sells out and it's doing well, it's a good sign. I mean, you can definitely see other IP brands, analog Web2 brands following this if it works.
It's also underappreciated, I think, the fact that, like, in order for a brand to deploy something – it takes a much longer time. And so, this one's copyrighted, this website, by Viacom. So it means like this isn't even licensed. This is run in partnership with Viacom. And they also have links to their other brands, like Paramount, Star Trek, Top Gun, any of these other different things, which just indicates to me that they're going to try and leverage more of those brands to make money as they do. That's the name of the game. Leverage your IP, make more money. But I think people also don't realize that like what may be one of the most bullish things coming down the road is just the fact that there's probably a lot of brands and institutions that people enjoy that are going to drop NFTs that have been a work in progress. And, the fact that Nickelodeon's having a positive response to their project is seeing these results is only going to make other brands' desire go up to continue to participate in this space. So they're just watching to see – they're watching each other to see what moves take place. And I just think this is a net positive for the NFT space as a whole and just as another bullish indicator over the long term. And we're going to see more people – collecting these types of things. That said, I mean, we're still at the beginning. We're all seeing the exact same things. This is another PFP project. So we're still in PFP phase a year and a half later. So I think, and maybe that this run continues for a longer period. Like, who knows? It's impossible to say when trends will change. To be fair, we've also had a generative art run as of recent. But I think those are the only two categories that we've seen in a major way have significant performance. So it's going to be exciting over the, you got to think another 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, what's going to evolve? How's this going to integrate into physicals? How's this going to integrate into experiences? And it's definitely coming. So I think we're only seeing the beginning of it. The fact that Nickelodeon's in here and you got this huge Paramount brand participating.
I've been talking about this, right? It's an inevitability. Hating on NFTs is just like a take that's not going to age well, because all it is like this new technology that's disrupting everything and creating these digital collectibles. So every brand that has physical collectibles is eventually going to have an NFT in some capacity. There are going to be different, variations of it, obviously. But this is definitely interesting that Nickelodeon came out. The thing is, you just never know what kind of like floor price a collection like this holds. I think that selling it for $50 was a cool cool move. Gave everybody a win. We'll have to see where it ends up. We'll have to see what the story is. Quad, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, so I've actually been on the Recur platform since like the beginning of Recur. And so Recur has this thing called a circle pass, the Recur pass, and they got early access to this Nickelodeon drop. But I don't like chasing stuff like this. When I see something
couldn't
like this
more.
Happen, yeah, when I see something like this happen, what I'm trying to do is I'm going, okay, like what do I need to look for in the future to figure out how I can make profits off this platform? And if you look at the IP that they have access to, Recur, they have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Hello Kitty, Star Trek, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So future drops from this platform are going to be, valuable, I would say, in my opinion. So instead of chasing this, Hey Arnold, Nickelodeon, I'm going to be waiting for whatever the next one is. And when that, whitelist opportunity and then the pre-sale for holding the pass comes out, obviously ready to jump on that.
Yeah, I mean, good call. You with brands like this, you have to see if they're able to drive secondary volume. That's like obviously the biggest thing is like, can they actually have sustained secondary volume? Because there's going to be a pump in the first 72 hours, of course. Something like this, it's the new shiny thing in the NFT space. It's a major nostalgic 90s brand releasing their first NFT collectibles on Ethereum. Like that is going to attract attention. It's what happens after this that kind of, is the difference maker. Legend, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I agree with you, Quad. I also have a couple of Recur passes and was waiting for the other IP that they mentioned on the website to drop. And with that being said, they also did the smart thing Recur Pass did where they, I think, minted on their website, but also Nifty Gateway to make it like more accessible to a broader range of people, really. But I did ignore the Nickelodeon mint. Yesterday didn't mint myself, and then I really felt caught red-handed today when I was scrolling Twitter at lunchtime, and I came across Boho who tweeted, "You bought 50 Goblin derivatives, then faded genuine Nickelodeon IP, didn't you, Anon?" And I was like, "Yep, that's me."
But that's like an NFT native move. You know what I mean?
Indeed, yeah.
Nick, you raise your hand. What's going on?
I was just gonna say, like, it's also interesting, the Goblins, like the bar set for an NFT native brand, Goblin Town being the example here, is so high for what they have to deliver. And when I look at Nickelodeon, they have the beauty of basically selling a pure play collectible. That said, Budweiser was not able to pull off the same thing. And most people weren't looking at it being like, yeah, I want to hold on to this Budweiser can. But I think Nickelodeon has the ability to basically just essentially make a one-time experience. Like they're not selling the roadmap. It's just like there's some nuance to how it operates. So like, yeah, there may be a burning mechanic. There may be an ability to like merge different things together. And it's a cool like experience. But after that, that's the end. At least that's my understanding. And that's something that brands will rush towards because it's much more like a marketing campaign. The fact that this could be profitable, I don't know which department at Nickelodeon was associated with this, but if a marketing department is able to create something which gets positive brand exposure off the IP of that, off the company, in this case, it's different because it's not like they're selling additional stuff here. Their business is literally selling IP, but there's brands that may have I think of like Gucci, who like we had the Gucci apes. There's nothing else. And a lot of people are like, well, what's happening with the Gucci apes? But really, you just got it. Like you got the ape with
you
Gucci.
You got the Gucci ape.
That's it. That's the whole thing. There's your collectible. And that's just a brilliant situation from the brand standpoint where they're just like, there's going to be tons of people that want to operate from that. And marketing departments are going to be drooling like hell over this. The fact that they could even break even or have a potential profit on additional brand exposure in the space. Yeah.
Bueller, anyone? Quad, you're off the Cool Kids Club. Ferris Bueller's Day Off doesn't even crack like the top like 300. I don't think IT brands, but I think you're. I just disagree. This is a PFP, Nick. I think this is much more of a collectible in the sense of like this is like the unopened like plastic toy. This is just the Web3 version of a collectible. I have it. You know, there's probably not going to be a ton of volume. We're clearly, who knows, this could be the next phase in like the fall, like all the new old IP brands that are playing on nostalgia that you want the collectible. It's hard. I think Budweiser's a little bit different. That's just such a normie commercial brand with a little bit of stigma. This is clearly nostalgia, a little bit younger, a little bit more niche. It feels like, you know, anybody that was in that demographic kind of, I mean, Doug, and, you know, that whole, it was just really iconic for that group. So you can see that. And I think also it depends on the time. I think when people were first, these people were identifying Web3 and hiring Web3 consultants, I think they were really freaked out by the fact that this was like permanent and never going to go away. And you're always worried as a brand, like, does it deliver value or does it dilute it? And I think the brands were really concerned, like, if this bombs, and it's like a stain and it can never go away because the blockchain, you know, is forever. I think that spooked a little bit of people. And now that there's some proven cases with Gucci and with Nickelodeon, I could see this being, because we already know, right? You see it on the in Twitter every once in a while, like so-and-so brand hires a Web3 consultant. The MoMA, I think, just hired a Web3, you know, and so now people, you know, it's actually a profession. It's on LinkedIn. I mean, we could see an absolute explosion in the fall, I think, of old IP brands trying this model. And yeah. I think now they're just like, why not monetize whatever the new thing is, whether it's social media, whether it's some sort of 3D watch. Like, this is just kind of like, yeah, this is what we do. Whatever the new thing is, we cut and paste and we throw our cool brand on it. And, you know, we run it through our economics team, and then we just see how much money it can make us.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. I don't know about the time. I'm not going to like put a time on it like the fall, but it's an inevitability. It's going to happen. I'm going to throw it a note in 1 second. Reminder, everyone, that today's show is sponsored by Tacopi. Retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow Tacopi's account. It's in that tweet. They're also on stage for a chance to win an NFT today that's worth 500 euros. Again, if you don't know how many euros that is, or how many dollars, or how many native currency that you're in, then just Google it. Really excited to dive into that project.
It's $500 in case. I just want to break it to everybody. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, I want people to Google it, Nick.
It's the exact same thing. You don't even need to Google it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. We have some breaking news in.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Right now, only a couple hundred people have retweeted that tweet, P.O., and that's just unacceptable. Just click on that. Click on the link at the top. That's potential cash directly in your pocket. And retweet it if you've been making money on crypto in the past couple of days. Like, seriously, we're up 10% from when Kix was out here, Big Mac D guy, saying with confidence that this is going to the moon. So, yeah, just do click the retweet button, okay?
You already know. And, yeah, I mean, Kix was definitely right. No, do you have your hand raised? What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'll just wrap up kind of thoughts on the whole, you know, old IP stuff. I'm actually kind of bearish on it. Like, if you look at any of the top projects on OpenSea, right, like none of them have anything to do really with a traditional brand. And the only exception I would say in general that this is working for is, like, you know, artists that are trying to come into the space. But even then, it's mostly Web3, like, you know, like things that are very pertinent to Web3, like generative art and artists that have been in the space. Like, they're the ones that are succeeding. The Web3 native brands are the ones that are succeeding the most. And I don't know, like, the only solution, like the only really successful stories I would say would be like Nike, which they literally bought the most Web3 native brand, right? In Artifacts. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. I feel like we have yet to figure out like what classic brands, like how they're supposed to enter the space. I still don't feel like anyone's really nailed it. Can anyone think of an example of a total non-Web3 native drop that went well and that's continuing to go well?
No, but okay, you want to go, Nick?
No, I didn't mean, I forgot to mute myself.
I think that just follows the natural trajectory of all technology, right? Early adopters are just people that are willing to pay for new stuff that doesn't work that well, typically. And so, you know, the first internet was like bloggers that you never heard of, but then eventually New York Times and ESPN, you know, ESPN just had like a site. New York Times' original site was literally like, it was their, the cover of their, you know, it was literally the format of their print magazine. And then of course now they're like one of the best, you know, web, you know, social content providers, interactive media providers out there. So I think that's going to, that's a natural progression. It's the whole, you know, disruptive, that's why any disruptive technology, you know, you don't cut into your stuff that's already cranking money to go into some, you know, new thing that could be a fad. So I still think that's healthy. Of course, it's going to take a long time to play out, but I don't think it's realistic to think like in 5 years, we're just going to keep slightly onboarding. You know, I know the Web3 people like hate Web2 invading, but it's just inevitable that once it becomes, you know, less of a niche technology and more mainstream, that it's just all the original institutions are going to adopt it, and many of them are going to, you know, devour it, I think, in some cases. I just don't see kind of any way around that. I mean, even the Gucci thing, if you were to show somebody, a normal person, like, oh, here's my Gucci ape, like, I would literally pity somebody if I didn't know what Web3 was. Like, you think this is cool that you have a a Gucci ape and you're showing it to me? And like, this, like, no one thinks that's cool yet, but once it becomes a normie thing, then, you know, once, you know, you onboard the next whatever billion users, yeah, it's natural that it's gonna have,
yeah, you know, I agree with that. Like, I think it's like right now we're all still Web3, you know, like they're trying to cater to us, which doesn't work, but as soon as it really crosses the Rubicon and there's, you know, mass people that are in the industry, that would make sense.
But yeah, as a trading, yeah, I agree. Like in the next 6 months, would it be smart? Yeah, I would definitely rather bet on a Web3 brand than a Web2, you know.
Does anyone know what the IP rights are with the Nickelodeon drop? Like, you don't own Tommy Pickles now, right? What can you do?
Theoretically, you can do whatever you want with it. Your IP, you can just put it anywhere. I don't see why not.
Yeah, you can. You actually now own Tommy from Nickelodeon, and you can actually create derivatives, unlimited amounts of money that you can generate from it. That's just what we're hearing.
That's
so,
what I heard.
It's, yeah, this just like a Tommy Cucumber. Really works as a cartoon, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking right now, and obviously there's an EULA, like an end user license agreement, because no, you don't own the rights, but you do own.
Wait,
the first.
Hold on. The mere fact that they have a user agreement means nothing about the fact of the implications of it. You got to read it. We had an agreement that said what you can use the art for.
Yeah, well, I'm reading it. I'm reading that you don't own the IP, so I don't know what to tell you. fucking shocker. In the least surprising news ever. But just to add to what Node was saying, when you look at the top projects in the NFT space, they're all NFT native projects where the people that run them are only doing those projects. Like Yuga Labs is not also doing something else. Kevin Rose has claimed that at this point he's only doing Moonbirds. Doodles, same deal. You can kind of go on and on at all the top projects. Then you get something like Crypto Dick that pops in, and what that is just like a meme thing. It basically goes into the category of crypto fine art, and then a bunch of rich crypto guys decide, yeah, that's the thing that we're going to buy, and then boom, it's the same idea. Node already pointed out Artifact getting acquired by Nike, and then you look at some other brands. Like, there's plenty of brands by people that are from outside of Web3 that have big names that then came in, but then if you go on those people's Instagram, they're doing brand deals on Instagram that doesn't have anything to do with their NFT project. They're doing events that have nothing to do with their NFT project. They're spending so much time doing things that has nothing to do with their NFT project. And I'm not implying that if you have a big name in streetwear or if you have a big name in sports that you now have to be a slave to NFTs and that's the only thing that you have to do. But what I am implying is that if you want to do an NFT project right, that's how you do it. But guess what? The reality of the situation is that none of those people care because they made seven figures off the primary sale. They just look at the NFT thing as a massive success and they don't actually care about people complaining about the floor price going down by 99%. But when you look at the successful projects that are having long-term sustainability, like Yuga Labs ecosystem, like Artblox, you know, the blue chips, like, you know, Doodles and Moonbirds, those are NFT native projects where the only thing that they're doing is building that project. That business is the forefront. It's the everything of their world. So we got Kodama.eth, one of the guys from the Takapi squad, raising their hand. What's going on?
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to add one thing. I think it's not about like for the traditional brands to be in the top collections of OpenSea or have like 1K ETH volume over a year. I think for them, it's about like getting brand exposure in this space and also like in our wallets, because our wallets are like our digital identities. If you know how to use OpenSea, if you know how to use EtherScan, everybody here is transparent and I can check your whole collection. And Nickelodeon achieved it that they have now 2,000 or 3,000 holders. And basically they are now forever part of our wallets and they will forever have like solid brand exposure in this space. Like we always forget that it's also about like Nickelodeon, like their main business model will not be like now selling NFT collectibles. Obviously it's a nice additional million for them most likely, but I think for them it's really important to have this forever exposure in the blockchain NFT space. And you can only achieve this like in the blockchain and NFT space, as I said. It's 24/7 digital wallets, identities, houses, galleries, whatever you want to call it. It's like a crazy marketing instrument it's like an always on advertisement in our wallet. And yeah. I think this is something that a lot of brands have to realize. And I think it's therefore super smart that they sold it for $50. I would have even, I'm looking forward to a brand that just does an open edition for free, limited to one wallet and, you know, maybe 100K claim it. And then they just earn off royalties. I think this would also be a super nice strategy to do that and exposure in as many wallets as possible. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the NBA did. The problem is that then the NBA thing just went to zero because, you know, it was like a kind of gamified thing. What we know when you look at like Chain Faces, for example, is that people don't want NFTs to go to zero, even if it's a game. Like, if anything, I feel like you should have to burn the thing. So at least you know that you're pressing the burn button and maybe you get a reward, right? But like nobody wants to buy an NFT and then it just goes to zero. I saw Node raise his hand. Then we'll go to Nick. Node, what's up?
Yeah, I mean, if we're okay changing gears, I just want to throw in a couple quick things that are a little more
no.
current.
No, okay, real quick, go ahead, real quick. I just want to say, the brands have arrived. Everybody, welcome the brands. I've been looking for the brands in this kingdom. And they have, they do appear to be arriving. As you can see over there, we have the great Nickelodeon marching. Marching in, here they come. Welcome, welcome one, welcome all. Welcome to the brands. Thank you.
Node, go ahead.
All right, a few things on my radar. We've got OSF they've been talking about it in the Discord a little bit. He has this collection that he's releasing. I think it's called, you know, OSF Seven Deadly Sins. It looks kind of interesting. It's like, I think that each, you know, there's going to be obviously seven different NFTs and they're, I think it's a small supply of each. And if you own one of each, I think you know, there's some kind of reward. So that looks interesting to me. A couple other old projects that I noticed have had a little bit of a run, like Pudgy Penguins is over a 2 ETH floor, which I would not have guessed. And then like, I have no idea what the heck is going on, but Milady Makers are almost at a 1 ETH floor again, which blows my mind. I don't know why. If anybody knows, I'd be very curious with that one. And then the only other thing I wanted to mention was that Zeneca's Twitter got hacked yesterday. So everybody, please be careful. Like what was great about the one positive was that everyone had been like anticipating some kind of a hack, right, or something to happen. And so Zeneca actually, even in his own Discord, said like, "Hey, like, be on the lookout." And then it happened to be him. So everybody just don't ever just like, I don't think any legitimate project is going to drop like a stealth mint. So just don't do it.
Yeah, go ahead, Nick.
I just wanted to say real quick, now that we have welcomed the brands, Node has mentioned ladies. Please welcome and all rise for the pedophiles. Welcome to the pedophiles. Now that the brands are here, we would like to allow a brand safe category of people.
That, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have context there, that's in reference to the audience that the Milady Makers project has attracted. Many have coined it the 4chan of the NFT space. Easy has been patiently waiting with his hand raised. Easy, what's going on?
It was just in regards to Node's thing. Like, in the current moment, looking at those two projects specifically, it seems like projects that have all but left their community to fend for themselves are pumping. So now I'm curious if MFers is going to pump next.
Oh, I like that. I still got one of those.
My thing with MFers is I think a lot of people were turned off by the sort of like exit, like an open edition, and then like a, you know, I'm disappearing forever. Nothing's ever going to come of MFers. I almost feel like, well, I think the nail in the coffin was the open edition, because it's like it wasn't good enough. You know, MFers wasn't good enough for you. You didn't make enough money off that. And then when you pair that with the fact that he was like, but I'm gone now. It's over. Forget about it. He would have been better off just leaving and not doing anything ever again, but not saying anything, because people would just be like, nah, it's like crypto dick butts or like crypto punks. It's just a thing, and it's just a meme, and that's it. It lives on forever. I don't know. Maybe people have different opinions. No, do you have different thoughts on that? You're an owner.
I agree. Like, I feel the same way about his open edition in particular, but to be fair, like from the very beginning, at least it seemed like all of his messaging was that, you know, he is not the head of this project whatsoever, right? So, this was like within the ethos of the whole, you know, decentralized community-owned collection. And he was pretty clear about that all the way through. And, but I think everyone got caught up in when he made those like two announcements, right? It was like on 6ix9ine, there's something going down. So it was like, I think just because of that, like he added a couple tiny pieces of utility where there was like the crazies airdrop for MFers holders and things that started to make it feel like, oh, this is going to be like a traditional PFP project, maybe. Even though from the beginning he was like, nah, there is no roadmap. This is all for the community. It's all from the community. So I think a lot of MFers holders are actually still totally fine with it. But I agree with you. I think the open edition was a cash grab, and most of y'all fell for it. So,
Quad.
Yeah. Look, MFers, if it was really for the community, he wouldn't have left himself on the royalty contract. Okay. So I've heard a lot of MFer owners defend him for that, and you know, say, oh, he gave it to the community. And then on the way out, the open edition was just like, it was so blatantly obvious to see that if you buy this open edition, it's going to go down and he's just done. So I'm completely not in on the way that he just like left the space. If you truly want to give a project to the community, you should not be getting any royalties anymore. If not, just don't do anything but stay around.
Hey, look, that's a fair take. Jesse, you unmuted a couple times. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I do think like just the NFT space in general is lagging. I think people that were traumatized by this like really, really bad, you know, double whammy of NFTs going down and ETH going down, people lost a lot. And like now that you're seeing all these coins go up like 10%, I mean, basically if you have ETH, if you have Bitcoin, if you have Matic, if you have Link, if you have anything, like you're watching it go up. Meanwhile, there's no new projects jumping in. So it's like you can just watch your coins at least recover a little bit. It feels good. There's no new projects. There's all the new projects literally like went on hold. And I think they're all, you know, there's got to be like 100 projects that basically were like, we can't, other than Kumite, like, you know, we can't release it. We can't mint in this market. And I guess some of them are probably going to come in now in this next wave, maybe in the next couple of weeks. But I think people are a little bit hesitant. You still have all these hacks. You have all these, you know, if you're going in on something big like an Azuki, right? Half of those are getting flagged, it seems like, left and right. So I think people are a little bit more skittish on getting back into NFTs. So yeah, I think the next couple of weeks will be pretty telling. Or you know, I guess days, and if you're going by NFT times,
we're gonna have to see where it goes. We'll see if Marin's right about the 28th. Kodama, what's going on?
Sure. Two things I wanted to mention. First, yesterday my Twitter feed was full of 888 is a scammer. So wanted to ask you guys, what's your opinion on that? It's, if you don't know, but I guess you know, it's the guy that sold his Twitter screenshot for, I don't know, I think he raised like 8 mil and now he's gone since March or April. I don't know. So we were talking about scammers and some stuff going on lately. So I wanted to mention this. And the second topic is I wanted to mention it actually during the currency debate earlier. Nina Chanel's project, like Super Cool World, anybody has it on their map. I've seen like Snoop Dogg has a PFP now, and Pranksy Sweep the Floor. I think he bought like 50 pieces. It was the first drop of the Goda Mint Pass. And yeah, just wanted to share these two things and get your opinion on it, guys.
Yeah, so I mean, 888, anybody that came from Nifty Gateway in early 2021 is familiar with 888. For people that don't know, because he has faded a bit in terms of his relevance in the NFT space, he's one of the
Because people hate him.
Well, he was one of the first like collectors that would just go hard. So he would buy all the Nifty Gateway NFTs. Like, he just had this crazy, crazy, crazy collection. And then he made his own platform, actually, called 888 The New World. It's like 888 TNW. Somewhere along the way, he fell out of favor. Nick, do you? I actually don't know the drama exactly on why people like don't like him. I know that a lot of artists did like him.
He did a drop with the crazy high Dutch auction approach, and it wasn't clear what the utility was. Whatever it was, it looked like he basically just tried to do a money grab, and people were just pissed off about it. I think part of it also included that like a lot of the value didn't go back to the original 888 Inner Circle group, although there was a little bit of debate over it. Whatever happened, it was just like people collectively called it a money grab, and that was the end of it. And it was sort of like, this guy is evil. And I don't think I don't think the drop finished. I don't think it sold out. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. Anyways, the guy's still active. He still has an audience. But I think people were just ticked off around him just trying to do money grab stuff, which had some accuracy to it. And there's a lot of people, I think, in this space where it's just, we see more and more drops. And it's like this weird thing where we're like, oh, this person got creative and did yet another thing and is making even more money rather than like build something for the people that they built the original project for. And I think that's where people... It's weird. It's like sometimes it works out. Like Node was mentioning OSF, who now has like a bunch of different projects and is now dropping. It sounds like another project, and so it's working for him. The narrative there is a positive one, and then you see other people that do it, and the narrative is just a negative one. And obviously, there's some blatantly obvious situations where I just used the word obvious twice. There's some situations where it's abundantly clear, that's my synonym, for like that the creator is just trying to exploit people for money. And I think if there's any hint of that, then people just quickly turn on the creator. And that's kind of what happened for 888.
Funny that Pat got away with it. Node, I want to hear from you quick. Then I want to hear from Ben and then Legend. And we got to roll into the sponsorship. So go ahead, Node.
Yeah, I mean, so the issue is Zach XBT just did a thread on 888. So he made 13 million over three NFT projects, but he has not been in his Discord since March, and he has not been on Twitter since May. So when you've got like an alpha type group, that's what I think kind of a lot of his thing was, right? It's like access to his inner circle, and then he literally has not been around for 4 months. That's why people are pissed.
Okay, Ben.
Well, no, the legend stole my thunder a little bit. That's what I was going to say. His disappearance from social media has definitely been noticed. But also once people started calling him out and Zach put out that thread, apparently he's been going through some in real life problems, which is what some defenders came out to say, that he's going through a divorce and he's been actively splitting up his wallets with his wife. So if you see any weird activity in the wallets, it's because of that. And, you know, that's definitely, you know, pulling on heartstrings for people. But also, like, I can see a case where that's just being used as an excuse or potentially even being made up after being called out for, you know, making millions and disappearing. So I think it's a fuzzy situation.
but to sell that much and then not disappear and not tell your community ahead of time, like, you know, people would be understandable if you're like, hey, you know, guys, I got a lot going on in real life. You know, I'm going to be away for a little bit, but, you know, I'm still here for you guys. He just dipped and then only reappeared once, you know, the legend Zach started calling him out. So I think it's a little bit of a sketchy situation, and I probably wouldn't put any confidence behind it.
Damn. Well, NFT divorces, we know what direction reality shows are going in the future. That's my CryptoPunk. That's my Bored Ape Yacht Club.
That's my crypto dick butt.
The ladies want the crypto dick butts. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, bad joke, bad joke. Legendary.
Wow, that was so inappropriate there.
Legendary, let's hear what you got to say on this topic, and then let's roll into this sponsorship. What's going on?
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to say. After Zach called him out, he got back with the tweet that he's going through personal problems. But that's the issue. Like, you can't raise such an enormous amount of money and then just go silent for a couple of months and only come back when someone calls you out. Because no matter if the story is true or not, and, you know, we can't judge on that, obviously, no one's gonna believe you. And also, just one more quick side note, because I noted this in the audience before. Actually, Nickelodeon NFT, the official account, was listening, but I think at one point we scared them away because they are
no. We're chatting. Anymore. We're chatting with them.
Oh, there. We didn't scare them away. That's good.
Oh yeah, yeah. No worries. That's all you want to say. Yeah. No, we did not scare them away. Shout out Nickelodeon. We were chatting with them about potentially doing a sponsored spot, so that'll be a lot of fun. Before we dive into the sponsorship, I let Wappy on stage. Wappy, I just get the biggest kick out of your PFP. What a riot! You look like a Texas oil baron. Just wanted to call that out. But ladies and gentlemen, if you retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow to copy, you're going to be entered for a chance to win an NFT that will be giving away at the end of this show in about 20 minutes, worth 500 euros, US dollars. Figure it out. Figure out how much it's worth to you. So we're excited to dive
in. $500.
There you go. We had Legend on the show before, Legendary on the show before, for a great performance. We're excited to have Kodama on stage representing Tokapi. Looks like you guys are dropping the day after tomorrow. Let's talk about Tokapi. What is it? What do people need to know?
Sure. So one thing, if Nickelodeon is still listening, please do a SpongeBob NFT. Okay, fuck.
I'm sure they're going to.
Because I also wanted to know if, like, I'm obviously looking forward to SpongeBob NFTs, because I think that's the best show on Nickelodeon, at least from me when I was like 14. But yeah, let's get back to Tokapi. So we were talking a lot about brands and security in the space and easy accessibility. And basically, this is all what Tokapi is about. So I started in the NFT space in late 2019. And obviously, it was quite chilled back then. You felt pretty safe and everything was quite cheap. But during the bull market, everything became crazy. And a lot of my friends wanted to get into the space. And I always had to tell them, start on Nifty Gateway. And at some point I thought, okay, why is everybody aiming to be the next OpenSea, and nobody wants to be the next Nifty Gateway? And still up today, there is no real challenger for Nifty Gateway. They must have the best life. And that's why 1.5 years ago, we decided to start with Tokapi. It's a custodial multi-chain NFT marketplace. So we're live on Polygon and Ethereum. Custodial, I think everybody knows what it is, but I will quickly explain it. So it's like Binance or like Coinbase. You do not have to connect with MetaMask. You simply go and log in with Google or simply email username, password. That's it. We work with a third-party custodian. They're licensed in Germany, like hardest country to get a custodian license. So the assets are safe, definitely safer as on your hot wallet at the moment. And yeah, that's what Tokapi is about, making the space more accessible to newcomers, giving a safe environment, also for brands, easy starting point. And yeah, that's it. Just awesome. The custodian. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the future for mainstream adoption is going to be custodial wallets, right? So it's going to be like easy to onboard people and easy for people to get in the mix without having to, you know, Noah from Yuga Labs now, formerly Christie's, and his panel yesterday, they asked him what he thinks it's going to take to onboard more people. And he literally said fewer mouse clicks, like literally just like reduce the number of clicks of the mouse that it takes to buy an NFT. And I just never thought about it that way, but you click on the NFT, you click buy, the MetaMask pops up, you confirm the gas fee, the whole thing. And that's just not how it usually happens with mainstream web technology. So it's great to have, you know, more, you know, custodial platforms for NFTs. Legendary, you know, you're a crypto OG. You've been in the game since 2017. You've been in NFTs for a really long time. You know, what do you make of the platform and what makes you excited about it?
Exactly that fact. I mean, we've seen Zeneca's Twitter getting hacked. We've seen Prement, and it takes like so much to learn how to keep your own stuff secure. Like, I keep writing regular threads about that, just posted one. And we can't expect people from the get-go to be, you know, aware of what is good practice in terms of keeping your NFT secure. And having like a good starting point where you can trust another party to keep your NFT secure, taking the time to educate yourself on how to eventually move these assets if you wanted to into your own custody, and not being overwhelmed from the beginning in a space that, you know, moves so fast and has so many mints every day, and you feel like the FOMO every day, and then you have to get on top of that and know how to secure your stuff. That's a lot to take in. And de-accelerating that pace a bit, giving people an easier start, and thus allowing for more collectors to onboard is what I think makes it exciting.
So is it a marketplace? Like, how do you guys, what's the customer or consumer experience here? Someone comes to the site, what do they do next?
You just basically create an account. Then you can customize your profile if you want to, and that's it. And you're ready to go. Then you can collect NFTs. We have primary market and secondary market. At the moment, like, we just launched 1 month ago, so it's still a little bit low. But yeah, on Friday, we have our first big drop, but more to that later. But yeah, that's it. We support credit, debit card, like Visa, MasterCard. And for Europeans, we support Sofortüberweisung. It's basically online banking. So if you have an N26 account or any online banking, you can simply buy NFTs as well. I think that's, I don't know of any other marketplace that offers you to buy NFTs with online banking. And we're looking to add Google and Apple Pay later this year, and we want to support as many traditional payment methods as possible. And yeah, for us, it's really like onboarding new people to the space. And what I will, let me ask you a question. Where did you guys buy your first crypto?
I bought first crypto on Coinbase.
I think Coinbase, or I could have used, what was the one that got hacked years ago? Mt. Gox.
You did?
I think I did buy some Bitcoin there, but I don't even know what happened to it. But the Coinbase was my first legit one. Bought one Bitcoin for $100. That was and then sweet. Sold it.
Good entry point. But that's my point, basically. Nobody of the 1,400 people here will answer, I bought my first Bitcoin on Uniswap, or I bought my first Ethereum on Sushi, or I don't know, my first BNB on PancakeSwap. Like, nobody starts his crypto or NFT journey on a decentralized platform. So we cannot expect from newcomers something different in the NFT space. So that's why I think custodial NFT marketplaces are like the only real solution, scalable or usable solution to onboard the masses. And I always like have this metaphor of saying brands, like, there's a big, like, I don't know, Coke, and everybody is like, the Coke is the Ethereum liquidity, and all brands put in their straws and sip Ethereum liquidity, and they don't bring in any new people. And like the Nickelodeon drop, how many people, like, from their actual community do you think they got into the space with their drop? Maybe two. Like, that's the big issue I see with all these brands coming in. They don't bring, like, they maybe bring exposure to the space, but they don't bring new collectors, because they all drop on a Web3 native environment. And I think this has to change. Like Nifty Gateway did a good job. I don't know, but with Eminem drops and everything on Nifty Gateway, and also with Puck drops, they really brought a lot of new collectors into the space. But then the big question is how many people went from Nifty Gateway to non-custodial journey. Like there's also a lot of education to it, but yeah, just sharing my thoughts about.
Where would y'all fit in that in terms of like who would you be going after in terms of onboarding to your platform? Are you trying to go after the mass consumer? And if so, some of the examples you were using were European, so I'm assuming that that's where you guys are based. But
yeah,
are you basically saying, hey, we're going after the European market to onboard them to NFTs? Because this is definitely like a challenge that, look, as a whole, frankly, what I think the anticipation, I was speaking with someone from the New York Times the other day who was asking about what went wrong with Coinbase's NFT market. And the thing that I was saying was, I don't know, like there's things about what the errors that they made, but I think separately, there was sort of like the anticipation of what value they were going to provide to the NFT market. And if you look at Coinbase, if they were able to bring the same value that they brought to the crypto market, then we'd all be going crazy. We'd be saying, oh, holy shit. Sure. They were able to onboard a lot more consumers in this space. And like you just used as an example with Nickelodeon or maybe even arguably Damien Hirst, it's not clear how many non-NFT collectors were onboarded into that market. That's frankly one of the most difficult things to do. And the easiest is those that already own crypto and a custodial wallet are probably the best demographic to go after in terms of onboarding into the NFT space, simply because you already have slightly reduced friction. But I'm wondering from your standpoint and from your business, how are you all like thinking about that in terms of like what audience do we go after and do we onboard them? Or are you saying right now, hey, we're going after the existing NFT market and trying to onboard those people?
Nah, I think like for the existing NFT people, obviously, like we have some of these anti-KYC people and everybody. I don't like to say unfortunately, because like regulation in this space is important. So you cannot sell on Tokapi without KYC. It's just simply because we have to abide by with AML regulations and everything. And yeah, it just brings another level of safety as well. But like we will go after, like our main business development target is like brands that want to launch an NFT. But for me, it's important that like I don't want to launch PFP projects if it's possible. I just want to launch like digital collectibles where the brands don't have to like create a roadmap, think about crazy burning mechanisms and everything. For example, we are working with at the moment with Germany's biggest sitcom. They have like they have a 30-year tradition, and we are working on a super low level entry point NFT drop for their community, and we might be able to get the collectors like having your name appear in the series and stuff like that. It's like really the thing is NFTs are like Charlie's golden ticket into whatever you want. I've been in a museum, I've been in an opera house, now we're working with a TV series. Like every brand, everybody wants to do NFTs. And for us, for our platform, it's important to get their people onboarded. And then obviously we have a huge education responsibility to also somehow, like we don't want a closed system where we force the people to always trade on Tokapi because it's the best from a business perspective for us. We are like, we call ourselves Web 2.5. So you can always withdraw, you can always redeposit. And yeah, as you said, like, I don't know what Coinbase did wrong. I think their NFT marketplace is non-custodial, which shocked me in the first place. So I think this was one big mistake. And the other one is, are they even doing business development? Is there any drop or anything attractive happening on Coinbase? I have no clue, to be honest. I've had so much work in the last month that I haven't even visited the Coinbase NFT marketplace yet, to be honest.
Yeah, there isn't. I'm just wondering, I mean, the biggest challenge,
Look, building a two-sided marketplace is frankly one of the hardest businesses to do. And so, I mean, congratulations, or I would say, I don't like it's impressive that you're, you know, going after that side of things. It's just frankly one of the most challenging areas to be in. But like you said, and I think it makes sense, what you're really trying to do at that point is you need to get products that people want. And consumers will go wherever is necessary for the most part. Obviously, you want it to be easier, like Pia was referencing with Noah from formerly Christie's. I think that, you want reduced friction, but also people are willing to go. I think there were examples of products that people are willing to just go through. The one that everyone used to use was Axie Infinity, was that a bunch of people in the Philippines were willing to go through anything just to, you know, make money despite all the complexities that were associated with it. Now, you know, we all know where Axie is at, but the same thing goes in this case. If you can make it easier, though, that's always better. So that seems like the focus here. Are there any big upcoming drops or brands that you all have to announce that would people can get excited about?
So as I said, like the real challenge for us was to get a real fiat payment flow, which is a pain in the ass. We got rejected by 150 payment providers. Wow. And one accepted us. Like, so we really, like, we did a soft start. We now have a big drop this Friday with the Austrian Post. It sounds extremely boring, a postal company doing NFTs, but in fact, they're doing NFTs since 2019. So I don't even know which brands did NFTs back then. They are selling out all of their collections. And fortunately, I've been NFT advisor, whatever you want to call it, NFT consultant to them for a couple of years now. And for their new project, it's called Crypto Stamp Art. They have chosen Tokopia as a launch platform. So we'll have this drop this Friday in 2 days. Yeah. And besides that, yeah, we have a collaboration with a museum ongoing. First drops will come later this year. And like the focus for us is like we will have drops, for example, with the museum where we can collaborate with big NFT artists or digital artists, which will be attractive to the NFT community. But a lot of our drops will mainly target traditional collectors and like the audience of certain brands, because we want to onboard their people into the space and not sell new NFTs like to people that have bought 500 drops in the last year. Like our real goal is to get new people, and yeah, we will see how it will play out.
So this the example of the Austrian Post is really perfect for that, because obviously stamp collecting has been big for decades really, and of course it's like an elderly group of collectors. They have been exposed to NFTs before, but the previous drops of the Post were physical first, then the NFT. And this year, the Post decided to flip that around and make it digital first, which is pretty cool in my opinion. But you can't do that and directly start selling on OpenSea. You're going to overwhelm a lot of people who are in their 50s, 60s, etc. So that's like one of the examples to your questions, Nick, before, of how we plan to onboard non-NFT collectors and expose them to NFTs.
I think the Austrian postal stamp NFT, that there was a little bit of virality around that last year where people were talking about the stamps, from what I recall, because you just used 2019 as a reference point. Is that the only – that's the official Austrian postal service selling digital stamps, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, I remember this actually. I do remember this last year. While everyone is going through the NFT archaeology, this one was one that popped up, and it's on Ethereum as well, right?
Yeah,
that's correct as well.
So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. And stamps, you know, I don't still collect stamps, but I, you know, as a kid, I remember there would be seeing like different stamp collection albums and things like that. And I may have even had a notebook at that point in time. I don't remember. But I remember my mom at least having a stamp collection, and she may still have that today. And that was definitely an interesting collectible item. And then people wouldn't even use them. Although I guess the argument there is there's still some utility for it. Is there any overlap? Like you can actually use this to claim real stamps? I mean, that would be a little weird, but is that a possibility?
Like our drop, it comes, there is a digital version, obviously the NFTs. And if you, it's basically the drop is 2,500 mystery boxes. Each box gets you four NFTs. Then a special art stamp block. It has like physical, the obviously it's beneficial if you're a postal service, so you're pretty good at shipping. So you'll get two physical parts of the drop. One is four stamps, official stamps that the postal service here in Austria released that you can use to send letters. And the other one is a limited trading card, where the left side, it looks like a credit card out of plastic, but high quality. The left side is a stamp, and the right side is the artwork. And you can break it in the middle and basically use the left part as a stamp and the right part as like a little collectible card. But obviously, nobody will break it because then it loses its collectible value. And like this trading card comes, I think it has like some... It has an NFC chip inside, so you can scan it with your phone and verify authenticity. Wow. And it also has some security layers. It has like some UV special stuff on it, so it glows in the dark, just certain parts. So the post has really learned a lot about, like, there are scammers in the NFT space, but there are also scammers in the real world, and they had a lot of stuff, a lot of issues with forgery, like with scammers that were copying the crypto stamps in 2019 to 2020. So like all the knowledge they've gained over the last 3.5 years comes all together in this special art stamp. And cool. Like for me, this is really cool because I've collected Magic cards. I think a lot of you guys as well, or Pokemon cards. And NFT collecting brought me back to also collecting all sorts of physical stuff again. I bought some random Mad Dog Jones diesel watches just because it's Mad Dog Jones. I have like 10 infinite objects at home. I like that more and more brands are also, and artists are taking this physical and digital approach and merge it.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate you coming on. Pio, I just realized that we're like over. So should we do the giveaway?
I'm about to press the button. So this is your last chance. You got 10 seconds to retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top by our sponsor to copy and follow their Twitter profile to copy official. It's on the stage and it's in the tweet. Retweet and
follow. All you got to do is just click the retweet button. I did it myself. I'm going to end up winning this. I'm taking the stamps home.
You're taking the stamps, the 500 smackaroos, the 500 big ones. You got 5 seconds. 5, 4.
What?
3, 2.
Oh my God.
2.
The bomb's just gone off.
The bomb's about to drop. All right. I clicked the button. Or excuse me. Now I begin draw. Here we go. All right. We got some people. Let's get this drum roll going. So I'm going to invite whoever wins to the stage. So come to the stage to win. And if we don't hear from you, if you don't DM me or come to the stage within a couple of seconds, then we're just going to move on to the next person. So you better be ready to rock. The first person is It's the Legend. That's at Legend ACG. Let's see if they're in the crowd. Search It's the Legend. I'm seeing them in the crowd. Invited them to speak. You got a few seconds. Accept my invite to speak. Come to the stage. It's the Legend. Oh, we have a rare first-time winner. Look at that.
Is like Twitter fixing their product or something?
They're playing by the rules these days. Congratulations. I'm switching to Wheel of Fortune theme music here. Congratulations. It's the Legend. How do you feel right now?
I feel on top of the world. This is the best moment of my life.
Are you Node on a burner account right now? You sound like Node.
Yes.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, this is Node.
Well, It's the Legend. I'm DMing you right now, writing winner. It looks like you've DM'd me a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah.
And I never answered. So sorry about that.
Yeah, I've been hating you ever since, Pio.
What were you DMing me about?
A bunch of garbage. You might as well just
enjoy the reading. So.
Okay. All right. Well, sorry. I didn't see the DMs, buddy.
Looks like you're a jerk.
Yeah, I guess I'm the big jerk that doesn't respond to DMs. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, shout out to our winner. It's the legend. Shout out to Takapi Official and Legendary and Kodama for sponsoring today's show. What a fun show it was. Make sure you check out the Takapi platform, another, you know, more custodial, centralized platform to help onboard people and to keep your NFTs secure. It's the legend. I will sync with you for your wallet information. But ladies and gentlemen, we do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time every single weekday, and we talk all things NFT market. So we hope that you'll join us next time. Just thanks a lot for listening. We will catch you guys next time. All right.